Well, let's take our Bibles and open them up together to Acts chapter 4 and a familiar passage that I want to move in terms of a more of a topical sermon today than a verse-by-verse or phrase-by-phrase sort of sermon. But let's stand together for the reading of God's holy word in Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 32. Acts chapter 4 and beginning in verse 32. And let's hear the word of God together. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. And thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Well, Father, as we consider the topic of life together as your church, certainly we would pray for the kind of unity that was there and evident, the gracious giving of our goods to one another, the willingness to hear of Christ at the feet of those who taught them. We pray, Father, for that same kind of thing. Help us to hear what is said today. I pray as words of encouragement. Some of them may be tender and some of them may be a bit more firm. I pray, Father, that you would be with me in the content, the words that I use and the tone with which I say them, and even the body language with which I present what is being said. May all this be used for your glory. I pray, Father, that at the end of our time together, we will all be more thoughtful about what it means in the days ahead to be a part of not just your church, but this church locally as well. And so, Father, we ask for your help, knowing that you will do all that is good for us to make us more into the image of your Son. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated. So it's that time of year. If you have not already started, perhaps you're pondering today or tomorrow or on New Year's Day, what do I want to be different in the days ahead? And for some of us, a common goal would be, or common resolution would be, well, I want to lose so many pounds. Or maybe you're an athlete and it's the opposite. You want to gain so many pounds to be able to be on the court or on the grass or whatever in a more physical way. Or maybe there's some goals that you want to make as a family. It's our goal to have dinner once a week together, face to face, and phones in another room. Maybe that's a goal that you have or that you will be making. Maybe it's a goal between a husband and a wife to speak more tenderly to one another in the upcoming year. Maybe that's a goal. Some of you are looking at each other already on that one. So I hope that that's a mutual agreement that you've made that, not a yes you do kind of resolution to make. Or maybe we're making resolutions at work. We have certain goals we want to reach. And so there are some certain things we need to do to reach those goals at work. Or maybe you just have a hobby that you want to pick up. And this is the year that you're going to take up macrame. And so you're getting all the things together to learn how to do macrame. Some of you know what macrame is, and some of you don't. Some of you, you're young enough that, oh, that's that vintage yarn stuff you hang on a wall. That's macrame with some wooden beads to it. Maybe you want to do more reading, whether that's the reading of God's Word or other kinds of reading to help you grow as a Christian. Maybe you want to read one book a month. Maybe you're a slow reader like me and you need to break that down, one book every 3 months or something. But you have a goal to read more this year to better understand your growth in Christ. Maybe it's to be a better student. The semester is past and you know that you've got to improve on some things and you're already making a list. Okay, I'm going to study. I'm going to look at my syllabus before the last week. I'm going to look at my stuff ahead of time, and you're already thinking about how to be a better student. Well, this morning, as you're looking at either at the screen or the message notes, I want you to consider a different kind of resolution this morning. And maybe even one of your resolutions is how do I grow as a Christian? That's a good thing to ponder too in these days. But still, even a little bit different than that. And so, as we're beginning, I want us to consider a good goal to achieve this year. I want to present to you, I want you to consider another topic to consider in your resolution making. And it's this goal: to grow as a contributing member of a local church for the glory of Christ's name. To grow as a contributing member of a local church for the glory of Christ's name. Has it hit your pondering yet? As you're thinking of different areas of your life that you want to see improvement in, has improvement in my activity in the local church been in your list? And I would encourage you to put it there if it's not. To grow as a contributing member of a local church for the glory of Christ's name. Now, even as we ponder that goal to achieve, and it's a good goal, and I hope to argue why in just a moment, to grow as a contributing member of a local church for the glory of Christ's name, there might be a good question to ask to follow along with that good goal. And the question is this: is this a biblical goal? Because certainly, if we can find this goal in the Scriptures, if we can find this goal talked about in the Scriptures, maybe then I should pay a little more attention to this. And so, is this a biblical goal? Is it a biblical goal to grow as a contributing member of a local church for the glory of Christ's name? And there might be some questions that we could ask underneath this, and I want us to. And the first question I want to take a little bit more specifically under this is this: is membership in a local church biblical? Because if it's not, then we just need to move on from this, right? So is membership in a local church biblical? And my answer to you is yes. Now let me share that with you so that you're not building upon what I think or the traditions of men, but that we go to the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit, in His perfect wisdom, recorded through Matthew, the disciple, the words of Jesus regarding Matthew 18 and the issue of church governance and church discipline. This is the passage in Matthew 18 where if a brother sins, then you should go to them. And if they will not hear, then two or three of you go and try to confront them in their sin. And if they will not hear, then we are to take them before the church. Now, Matthew is not talking about, nor is Christ in the Gospel of Matthew, talking about gathering all the believers of all the globe together to hear a matter. That would be an impossibility. But he's saying the local gathering of believers, the local gathering of believers is to hear a matter and to judge on a matter. And the result is that if that person will still not listen to that church, to the church, you are to treat them as an outsider. Well, by implication, you cannot treat one as an outsider until you have first treated them as an insider. This is the same sort of thinking preserved for us by the Holy Spirit in the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he's having to address the prideful tolerance of the Corinthian church. That even in their midst, there's this one known for sexual immorality with his stepmother, who professes to be a believer. And Paul's words are this: let him who has done this be removed from you. Now, sinners are welcomed into worship. So I don't think that Paul is talking about physically removing him from the premises, but that there is to be a removal of an understanding that you are with us. He goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and he says it's not our job to judge those outside the church. And here he's speaking to a local community church. Paul's not talking to all the churches everywhere. He's talking to the local church in Corinth. It's not your role to judge everyone out there, but it is your responsibility to judge those, his words, within the church. Again, he's not meaning the church globally. He's meaning the church here in Corinth. Those who are with you by faith, who have been set aside for the purpose of God's glory. He ends the chapter, or ends that pericope of the beginning part of 1 Corinthians 5 to say this: purge the evil person from among you. Again, you cannot remove or you cannot exclude that which has not been included. Again, Paul, in another matter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, says that the punishment inflicted by the majority is sufficient. There's nothing more to be added. Now, if there is no role, so to speak, if there's no defined membership, how do you determine a majority? You cannot, unless you have a defined number. So the pattern of Scripture, as the church grows and expands and moves about, is this understanding that local churches, if they're to have formal exclusion of individuals, therefore there must also be some formal inclusion of individuals. In a different way, in 1 Timothy 5, 9 and 11, Paul talks to Timothy about the need for to guard the list of widows. He gives some parameters as to who should be included on the list of widows and those who are not to be included on the list of widows just yet. Now, this is not the list of widows in all of Ephesus, where Timothy is the pastor. This is a list of widows within the membership of the church that the church is to be responsible for and to take care of. So I want us to at least come to an understanding that the Scripture points to there being some form of formal inclusion of individuals into a local gathering that we call the church. Now, we understand that there is the universal church. We understand that Christ is the head of the church, the whole body, but he's also head of the local churches as well. Hence, when you read the Scripture, there is the church in Jerusalem and the church in Corinth. There's the church in Thessalonica. We'll be reading a text to the local church in Philippi. Of course, the whole body learns from what is written by all these local church letters, but they are written to a particular body at the moment by Paul, the Holy Spirit giving its impetus for the rest of the church. So is membership in a local church body biblical? Yes. So therefore, we're back to, is to grow as a contributing member of a local church for the glory of Christ's name a biblical goal? Well, if membership is biblical, then yes. Growing as a member of a local church should be biblical too. But then the next question might be, well, is my participating as a member of a local church important? And that can be answered a number of ways. Is my participation as a member of a local church important? Well, it's important in regards to, are you walking according to Scripture? Are you pursuing, as believers, local church membership? But it can also be answered in the sense of, is my participating? That's in the goal to grow as a contributing member of a local church. Back in the summer, we did the series on to one another, the one another series. How do we live with one another? And that was not primarily about how do we live with one another at home. These were words of wisdom that the scripture writers were writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to help members of a local congregation know how to do life together, not just at home, but as members of the local body. So if the Holy Spirit sees it as important for us to understand and know and read how to live together in the context of the local church, then yes, it is important. And that the membership of the church was never seen to be as the doers and the watchers. That was never meant to be. But we were all meant to be a part of the doing of the gospel, doing of the kingdom's work through the context of the local church. This is why 1 Corinthians 12 is listed there for you. Because there in 1 Corinthians 12, as Paul is writing to that local church, when he's talking about gifts, right? One body, many gifts, one body, one members. He's not talking about the global church here. He's talking about there in Corinth, where you're having problem because some of you are puffed up over some of your gifts, and some of you are hiding because you don't think you have any gifts. Listen, one body, many gifts, there in Corinth. Is it important? Your participation is important because God has placed you into the life of that local church to participate and contribute for the good of the whole. You are needed. And even if you think you're just the pinky or just the small toe, Paul addresses that. You're just as needed in some form or fashion in the life of the church, though not all have the same gifting. So is my participation as a member of a local church important? Well, one, as a matter of obedience to Scripture, yes. And for the well-being of the local church, yes. You're participating and contributing in the life of the church. That is financial, but it's not only financial. It is important. And why is this important? I've already said because my participation in the membership of a local church follows biblical patterns, and I want to walk in obedience to the scripture, what the scripture shows to us, and I also want to be contributing member to the life of the church and the building up of one another. But there's another reason why. Because when people see the church local, they also have assumptions about the Lord, universal. How we act with one another and how we cooperate one with another with the gospel of Christ impacts how the world sees us and impacts how the name of Jesus is thought of by others. So is this a biblical goal? Well, we've seen that membership is biblical. My obedience is certainly biblical. My participation is biblical in that it's needed for the good of the whole, every single one of us doing whatever we can for the good, not just of the church, the local church, but the church in general and for the sake of Christ's name. Now, can my membership be improved upon? There's not a church that can't be improved upon. There's not a church member whose roles cannot be improved upon. Even in Acts 4 that we read, when you're done with Acts 4, where do we end? At the beginning of chapter 5, Acts 5. And what happens in Acts chapter 5? We have the first example of church discipline. As Ananias and Sapphira are carried out dead. First removal of the roles of the early church. When they lie to the church about their giving, lied to the Lord about their giving and their intentions and their motives and their giving to the church, and the Lord removes them. Oh, it wasn't perfect. Even as we read a passage like the one that we just did and think that, oh, but to live there and they had it all right. Very next chapter, some of them were getting it wrong. So much so that even by chapter 6, you see that the Hellenistic, the Greek widows, and the Hebrew widows are at odds because there's suspicion that one group is getting more bread than the others. And hence there was the gathering together of what would become, we believe, deacons. That first seven to wait on the tables and to take care of practical needs while the apostles themselves went on about the business of preaching and of praying. Oh, there's improvement. You can't go through any of the letters that Paul wrote, even the ones where he's gushing, even the Philippians, where he's gushing about how well they're doing and the love that's exhibited by them. Even in Philippians, we're going to find out two sisters can't get along and it's infecting the whole congregation. There's room for improvement and what it means to be a member of a local church. Which brings us to the third question then, or at least the third idea as we're looking at this passage. This perhaps then is a good moment to assess. And I'm going to probably go longer here because human nature is, now here are three questions I want you to go through when you go home, you and your family, or this week, tomorrow when you have maybe tomorrow night off or on Tuesday off, and human nature is to take the sermon notes and to fold them and tuck that away for later. And later comes about 6 months from now and you're emptying your Bible of all the clutter. So I want to take some moments to have us ponder individually if growing as a contributing member of a local church for the sake of the name or the glory of the name of Christ, if that's a good biblical goal to have, how should I begin to think through that? So let's ponder this. Let's look at this question. Why am I not a member of a local church? There may be some reasons for this. One is that you're not a believer. And if you are not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, really this question is mute. We don't get to membership of the local church and a name written on a roll at a local church until we concern ourselves with, is your name written on the Lamb's Book of Life? And so that's one of the reasons why at this church we've tried to distance somewhat the following of an individual after Christ and an assurance giving of salvation of their soul, so that they know that they are a believer in Christ and that Christ holds them dear, and the decision to become a local church member. Because we don't ever want to be guilty of confusing those two. So that somewhere down the road you might think to yourself, well, of course I'm saved. I'm a member of Grace Community Baptist Church. And so even from the beginning, we've forcefully divorced those two moments. But in confession, we may have divorced them too much. As confession as an elder, on behalf of the elders, we may have pressed those two things too far apart. And we would encourage that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you should soon be pursuing membership in the church. Now, membership for a 12-year-old is going to look different than membership for a 22-year-old. But the Scripture does teach for us that as they were professing their faith in Christ, and as they were baptized publicly for their faith, they were added to the church. So that we think this should be a quicker move to membership rather than years. Now, I'm not saying that we're necessarily going to stop, cease, desist the emphasis on two things going on there, but we are perhaps going to be a little less slow in encouraging you to think about local church membership if you are a believer in Christ. Because if it is right, according to the Scripture, to be a member, then a believer should want to pursue that. So one reason why a member or why somebody is not yet a member of the church is not yet a believer and follower of Christ. And that's understandable. Perhaps some are in this place and it's a season of decision and discernment, and you're new to the area and you're finding a church home. You're trying to find a church home that best meets with your understanding of church doctrine and of life together. We get that that's a process and that takes some time, but it doesn't take forever. And so let me help you with this. After about 3 and at the most 6 months, you know who we are. You know what our standards are. You know what our faith is about. You know what we hold dear. And if it's not true, we hold the idea of following Christ according to the Scriptures dear. We hold missions dear. We hold prayer dear. We hold body love dear. So after 3 to 6 months, I'm encouraging you, if you know who we are, to yield to the Scriptures, not yield to me, yield to the Scriptures, and seek local membership, or find one where you can. And I'm not saying that because I'm mad at you, but because I love you enough to encourage you to be obedient to Scripture. It is not right to be a believer and be here for month after month after month after month and never follow Scripture to membership. So if we're not the one, then go to the one where you will be obedient to Scripture and join for accountability and responsibility as outlined by the Scripture. And maybe that's a reason why some are not a member of a church. So why am I not a believer? I'm not a believer. Or why am I not a member of a local church? I'm not a believer. Gotcha. Maybe you're in that season of decision and discernment. Certainly want to be understanding. Certainly want to be gracious. But if you're not a member because you're avoiding responsibility and accountability to a local body, you're avoiding obedience to God. You risk making church life all about what you are getting instead of partnering with others that you might give for their good. And for those who refuse to move into membership with this local church, I want to ask you to consider, how true is it then that you are one coming to the table with a people who hold that church membership is scriptural? Are you saying I should leave? I'm saying, as an elder of this church, in which we unanimously teach that Scripture teaches local church accountability and responsibility. Let me rephrase that. I'm saying, as an elder of this church, unanimous with the other elders, that Scripture teaches local church accountability and responsibility of formal inclusion and, when needed, formal exclusion. I am saying, be obedient to the Scripture. I'm saying I personally would prefer it to be here. But if not here, don't delay. Find a local church that you can join and be accountable and responsible for the body of Christ in. What are those who are members here? What about those who are members here? Are you attending with regularity? Maybe that's a means of growing in this new year and contributing simply by being more regular in your attendance. Are you growing in your financial giving? Is that an area that the Lord is pressing upon you to grow in? Not so much me or the treasurer of the church, but is the Lord impressing upon you, this is an area that I want you to trust me more? Am I using my skills and gifts for the good of the local church that I'm a part of? Am I involved actively in discipling another person? I don't mean, are you attending a Bible study? I'm asking, are you finding somebody younger in the faith than you and reading Scripture with them and praying with them? If I can be gently bold, after having been your pastor for 14 years, very few of you are babes in Christ needing feeding anymore. You are the mature ones to be looking for the babes who need milk to be taught. So when I ask, are you discipling another? I'm not asking, are you willing to sign up to study in another class? I'm asking, are you willing to lead one? Are you willing to reach out to another sister or brother in this congregation and sit down with breakfast once a month with them and ask, how can I be praying? What's the Lord doing? What do we need to be working on together for the growth of each other, for the glory of Christ? As a member of this church, are you growing in your care for one another? Purposefully looking out each Sunday that you come as to the ones who aren't here. So to go and pursue them. So maybe one good thing to do, because, you know, we want to lose weight, and what do we go to? We go to the scale. Right? We want to measure something. Or we want to read, so what do we do? Well, how much did I read last year? Maybe I could add one more book. Maybe last year I read the Gospel of John. And that's a good thing that you were reading the Gospel of John, but maybe now you want to read the other three Gospels this year. You sort of measure where you were and where you're going with this. We have a tool by which to measure our hearts as members of the church. It's our church covenant. And I placed it in the worship guide for us all to look at today. And so let's look at that together. Because those of us who said that we're going to be members of GCBC did not merely say that we were going to be attenders on Sunday morning. So let's remind ourselves, those of us who have stood before the body and said, we agree with the church covenant. That's who we want to be. Let's perhaps remind ourselves who we said we were going to be and ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything in here where you want me growing? And this is not Scripture, but there's a lot of Scripture underneath it as it was put together. So I don't want to say that this is on par with this. But the covenant was guided by the Bible and hopefully reflects that as we move through. So just a reminder, so by the grace of God, having, as we trust, been brought by divine grace to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to give up ourselves to Him, and having been baptized upon our profession of faith in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we do now, relying on His gracious aid, joyfully and solemnly enter into this holy covenant with each other. You notice there that it's faith first, it's believing first, evidenced by baptism, and then moving into membership with one another. That's what the Scripture in Acts shows us, 1 Corinthians as well. knowing that our Lord Jesus taught that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that the next is to love our neighbor as ourselves, we endeavor to do these things in the following manner. So that first section. Regarding the corporate body of Grace Community Baptist Church, we desire and intend to walk together in Christian love, working and praying for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, unity, and warmth of fellowship. Promote her spirituality and well-being. Sustain her worship, ordinances, that would be the baptism and Lord's Supper, and doctrines. Can I speak to that for just a moment? So some of you I know are not on the same page as the official position of the church regarding the sovereignty of God and salvation, or doctrines of grace, or Reformed theology, or the biblical term understanding of predestination and election. We do not require that for membership. Although that is going to be required of those in leadership, particularly those teaching. So if you are thinking, well, I'm not allowed to be a member because I don't hold to predestination the same way the elders do, that's a false excuse. Submit to the church's discipline upon ourselves and lovingly assume our responsibility to participate in the discipline of other members as taught in Scripture. This would be a point of application. Those of you who are members, where does that take place? It takes place in our members' meetings. They're well announced. And I always say that guests are welcome and members are expected. Because of our covenant. Because the church body is responsible for those who come in. And the whole of the church body is responsible for those that we must discipline. May I ask you to consider, just as you are faithful to attend on a Sunday morning, our members' meetings are no less biblical or important. Number 6, give her sacred preeminence over all institutions of human origin. That one trips us up sometimes. What do I mean by that? What do we mean by that? What does the church mean by that? What do those who are together, putting that together, mean by that? That means that if I have a choice between this and the PTO meeting, I'm coming to a function of the church. Why? Because we're a cult? No. But because we think this is the most important grouping in your life. For each other, Christ died. Maybe a different way of asking that question is, of what am I giving more prominence to in my schedule other than the life of the church? We said as we became members of this church that we would commit our resources for the support of the ministries of this church, the relief of the poor, the cause of revival and reformation, and the spread of the gospel through all the nations. That's what we wanted to do as a church body. But then the next section talks about us individually as members. Regarding ourselves individually, we desire and intend to maintain personal and family devotions. And maybe you're here and you're like, Pastor Ken, I knew that was in there when I said yes, but honestly, I don't know how to do this. Well, this is where you get partnered with some others who do know how to do this, and we disciple one another what that looks like. Maybe that's an area that you wish to grow in for the upcoming year. Religiously educate our children and any others who are given to our care. Seek the salvation of our kindred and our acquaintances. be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our conduct. Lord, is that true of me? Individually, I'm going to take it upon myself to personally contribute time and money cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministries of this church, the relief of the poor, the cause of revival and reformation, and the spread of the gospel through the nations. We go on to say, as members of this church, regarding our relationships with one another, we desire and intend to watch over one another in brotherly love, affectionately caring and encouraging whenever possible, and gently correcting when necessary. Lord, how would you have me grow there? Remember one another in prayer. Aid one another in sickness and distress. Cultivate the ability to rejoice at each other's joys and bear with each other's burdens and sorrows with tenderness and sympathy. Cultivate Christian courtesy and speech by avoiding all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. Be slow to take offense, always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the teaching of our Savior to secure it without delay. Regarding our relationship with the world, we desire and intend to strive by God's grace and power to live as Christ in the world, walking circumspectly, carefully, that is, and denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Use our influence as salt and light to promote biblical understanding and engage the culture on such issues as, I could say, but not limited to, religious liberty, marriage only between one man and one woman, sanctity of human life from conception until natural death, as well as to combat practices such as prejudice, abuse of substances, the spread of pornography, sex trafficking, and any other which lead to moral and spiritual decay both personally and socially. So yes, GCBC, we want you to be socially active because we are to do good for the city in which He has planted us, according to the words of Jeremiah. We are to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior, seeking the salvation of our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and all the nations. And then we've said this in our covenant, that when by God's hand we move from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of His covenant and the principles of God's Word. Now, let me ask the question on your behalf. Well, are you as consistent with people leaving grace as you are with people coming into grace? And there's at least one witness in here that can say yes. After about 3 months, if I've not heard that you joined another church as you left here, I'm asking you, what are you doing to change that? What church have you regularly been attending? Why do I do that? Because we said that church membership is important in a local church. And we said in our covenant that as soon as we leave here by God's hand, we're going to trust that by God's hand He's going to join us to another church. A local church to be responsible and accountable, growing and helping others grow for the glory of Christ. Well, can I be a member of another local church? Or can I be a member of this church and go and just be at another church? No. If this is where you're coming, let me put it another way. If over there is where you're going and where you're contributing and where you're serving as much as you're able, that's where your local church membership should be. And vice versa also. And then we end, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, Scripture, be with us all. Amen. So, I want to give you a few moments. For some of you who have been waiting for an invitation regarding church membership, to encourage you to consider strongly the next prospective members class, which is the second Sunday of January. To delay no longer if you believe this is where God wants you to be planted. I want to give you a few moments perhaps look over the church covenant, which we have said we want to be true as a church, for the Lord even to act in our hearts now. For those of you who are not yet members, is this the kind of church I want to be a part of? Is this the kind of church that honors God? Are we perfect in it? No, but Lord, help us. We're growing in that. And I'm not saying no because I'm aware of some great, horrendous thing that we're not doing. It's just we're a group of imperfect people, right? All doing our best with God's grace to grow in this. And then I want to give you a few moments, maybe as members of grace, to ask the Lord about that goal, to grow as a contributing member of this local church for the glory of Christ's name. Lord, how would you have me grow? And maybe it'd be good to have a pen. Write down a thought or two, or to circle an item or two. But let's enter into a time of spiritually praying and talking with the Lord.